Well, good morning again. Now, if you've been here, you know that last week, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we wrapped up our heart check series where we checked our hearts, okay, and then we followed through on that with a commitment to our heart check campaign or our giving to missions or outreach, and that's over and above our regular giving. And a part of that mission plan this year is local outreach. Outreach right here in the community in which we live, in the community of Springville, which we will do as a church together this coming year through things like our volunteerism and our efforts, and also through financially investing in such things and just blessing people in this community and coming alongside even already great initiatives or organizations that do a great work to help them do what they do so well and to make all that happen. And in thinking about all that and how we can impact things locally, the best way that we can do that in Springville, okay, and in all of Western New York as a multi-site church, is to actually live out Jesus's command. His command to love our literal neighbors as we love ourselves. That is how we can best impact Western New York for God's kingdom. And to that end, I want to share with you a real story, a true story. It comes from a book called The Art of Neighboring. You see, there was this group of about 24 pastors in Denver, okay? And they got together and they met with their mayor and they asked him, you know, what is your dream, mayor, for our city? In other words, they asked him, if you could change anything about our city, what would it be? And they were asking him this so that they could strategize, right, and be a part of the solution to the problems that he saw. Well, the mayor went on and on to name an exhausted list of social problems that their city and many other cities and communities, and in fact, even our own, probably most likely face. You know, things like at-risk kids and youth, or drug and alcohol problems and abuse, loneliness, single parents, and people living below the poverty line. He listed off things like the need for help for the elderly and shut-ins. And I imagine that they, this group of 24 pastors, I imagine that they were feverishly taking notes. That's what I would have been doing. And they were probably also feeling a little overwhelmed, a little burdened, perhaps, by all that they were hearing. But then the mayor... The mayor went on to say, just in passing, as walking out, said something like this. You know, the more I think about it, the majority of the issues that our community is facing would be eliminated or drastically reduced if we could just figure out a way to become a community of great neighbors. And he said, if you want to have the biggest impact in our city, then the best thing that you could do, you group of pastors, is figure out a way to start a neighboring movement. Now, I imagine, and in fact, I know because the book communicates it, that this was a hard moment for those pastors. Because when you and I, when we think about it, they were just told by the mayor of Denver, by God using the mayor of Denver, mind you, to remind them that these pastors, that the smartest thing they could do for their community was to take Jesus Christ at his word and do the thing that Jesus said matters the most, to love our neighbors. As right on the backside, or as an addition or a continuation, a truth, Jesus said that the greatest commandment, you remember it, is to love God. Right? But then he continued that thought with an additional truth, didn't he? He said, and the second is what? It is just like it. And it is to love our neighbor as ourself, which is the essence of what the mayor of Denver was saying, wasn't it? In those discussions, these pastors, they further learned that the greatest frustration for local government leaders was that they start all these government programs, okay? Maybe things for the elderly or shut-ins or youth, but then things like the funds run out, right? Or the volunteers, you know, they get frustrated. That all dries up. And so they said things work well for a couple years, or something like that, but then things slip back into normal, or maybe even worse than what normal was. And these Denver community leaders, the mayor, the city manager, they went on to share that the best way to actually care for people in need in our community, which we are all likely in need, right? In need of something. The best way, they said, to do that is when the people that live around one another care for one another. And when that happens, people get cared for out of something called relationship, church, and not out of programs. And I want you to listen to me for a second. Relationships always trump programs. Always. That's why, for example, we as a church, we do things like community groups or small groups, right? Because they have a lasting impact. And statistics and community leaders, they will tell you across the country that people who have close bonds with their neighbors, do you know what? They actually live longer. And they also tell us that when people know the names, the first names, mind you, of their neighbors, that crime is 60% less. And when a natural disaster may hit, that communities that have a neighboring reality that have that going on, well, they have natural systems in place to help with government systems and infrastructure that can get so easily overwhelmed in such situations. Thus, the first responders to natural disasters become the neighbors, which is so good, church. So good. But here's the sad truth that we, okay, those of us who are Christians in this room, here's the sad truth we have to wrestle with. Very often, there is no visible difference between Christians and non-Christians in areas where neighboring is needed. We need to step up. We need to show up, church. We need to step up and show up as believers in Christ. Now, with all that said, Jesus is the smartest person who ever lived, for he was and is God, right? And again, he boiled everything down to one command: love God, love people. So Jesus gave us the most strategic plan in his God's greatest commandment. And it is a command that could literally, okay, change our communities. It is a command that could change our world instantly in some ways, if only everyone who followed Jesus would actually live it. Can you just imagine what it would look like? Can you imagine what it would look like if we all just took Jesus at his word? With that, now let's look at his word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 25 to 37 in the New Living Translation. We're going to kind of break it down as we go, but let me start by reading in verse 25 of Luke 10. One day, an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" Now, Jesus, just so you know, he does this time and time again. When asked a question, he asks a question to help people discover some answers for themselves. It's really a beautiful thing. So then the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Right. Bingo. Right, Jesus told him. "Do this, and you will live." Church, Jesus is saying loving God and loving your neighbor are the most important things that we can do in life. In fact, I want to encourage you later, go read Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, because Jesus says there, loving him is loving others. Loving others is loving him, and it is loving our neighbor. With that, let's keep reading verse 29. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, I want you to notice the expert in the law is trying to define his neighbor as someone that he can choose to care for, right? It said he was just looking to justify himself. In other words, he's looking for what we call a loophole. And earlier in the reading, it said he was looking to what, Jesus? To test Jesus. And if we are honest, many of us do something similar, church. And we excuse ourselves from the calling to both know and to love our literal neighbors. We want to love people that are easy to love. We want to love people that are convenient to love. But then the conversation continues in verse 30 with this. Let's read it. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then, listen to this, a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, and he bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Now, it is really important to notice here that the Samaritan, well, he met the physical, right? He met the material, he met the financial, and he met the emotional needs of this man, did he not? Right? And church, this is truly loving your neighbor. That is what loving your neighbor fully looks like, and it doesn't matter who they are. Our neighbors are in our daily path as we run into them on a daily basis, especially in a community like ours. And neighbors are all around us. They are our fellow man. They are our fellow woman. And what this means is you or I, well, you know what? You or I, we don't really have to pray about God bringing us a neighbor to love. We don't really have to pray about God bringing us a neighbor to help, because we are surrounded. And God wants everyone to be engaged in loving our neighbors. We don't have to ask him if we should. He's already spoken on it. He's already commanded it. We just maybe need to pray and watch and listen so that we know the best how, you see. The best how to love them. The best how to engage with them. And here's what's great. I got to tell you what's great about being a part of a church network like we are, a church that has like 5 campuses. When it comes to loving them, people around us physically and materially and emotionally and even financially, we have many outlets, church, for that. So you know what that means? We don't have to go on our own. For example, when it comes to emotional needs, we have tons of good counseling resources and relationships at our disposal. We have that as a church network, as multi-site, or when it comes to something like food or clothing, you know, those kind of areas of help. We have places like the Trading Post, don't we, that we can connect people to. So what I'm saying is we don't have to be fearful and we don't have to worry about carrying the whole burden alone. Each and every one of us, though, we are on the front lines, you see. We're on the front lines, and our job is to build relationships. And when a need arises, our job is to connect. Our job is to walk with and bring dignity to the situations and to extend love. Church, there is nothing greater, okay, that we can do than live out intentionally and proactively the second half of the greatest commandment. And just to clarify, the actual definition of neighbor, it is so much bigger than just our literal neighbors. though we are challenging ourselves in this series to begin and to be active there. But we don't want to be so narrow-focused that we overlook the other forms of neighboring. For example, coworkers, right? Maybe it's parents on your kids' sports teams. Or maybe it's the person that I always order my coffee from. But we do want to focus more on our literal, physical neighbors in this series. Because I'll tell you what, too often, you know what we do? We look at the bigger picture of the word neighbor, and we fail to focus on those that are closest to us, our actual physical neighbors. And we want to focus there also because it is easy for me, and I bet it's easy for you too, to argue that I'm loving my neighbors all the time. The people I run into, I'm loving them all the time. But when everyone is my neighbor, I often end up loving no one, especially not at deeper levels, right? And on top of all this, think about it, okay? Today, think about it. We are more connected, yet less connected than ever before. Well, what do I mean? Well, what I mean is with things like social media, our reach is what? It is global. But most of our relationships are very surface level. I mean, you and I, we can communicate with someone in a different country and yet not know the people, right, that live right around us. And for some of us, the information that we do have about someone living right near us, maybe it's solely based on their last social media post or something that you heard about them. Maybe that's called gossip, church. Maybe it's something you heard about them from someone else without you or I really knowing them. So who are your neighbors? Who are they? Do you know their names? Statistics indicate that 50% of us in this room do not know the majority of our neighbors' names. And there's a bunch of us in here who probably don't even know each other's names. And we, you know what? We may even live in the same part of town. How sad is that? How well can we love them? How well can we love our neighbors if we don't even know their names? How? With that, we want to help ourselves today. We want to help you. I want to help myself to be intentional about that. So when you leave today at the Connection Center in the back, we have these neighborhood block map magnets, okay? And we want to ask each family unit here to take one of those and put that baby up on your fridge and fill in who's around you in your neighborhood. Or maybe for you, maybe it's your office or something if you're in a really rural area, okay? Fill that out and begin to remember their names. And I want to challenge you this week to begin by just praying for them. Begin by just praying for them. Throughout this series, we're going to be unpacking the bless strategy, okay? And this is something we talked about sometime back, very briefly, but now is the time, church, to really fully engage in it. Now, quickly, bless, this acronym, it stands for B, begin with prayer. L, listen. Listen to your neighbor. Listen. E, eat with someone. Maybe grab a coffee with your neighbor. Maybe have a lunch together. S is serve them. Listen to them and you'll hear ways that they could use a little help maybe. And then S, okay, the last S, share your story. Share Jesus. Share how God has worked in your life. And you know what? This is a progression, okay? This is a progression that you build up to. And that may take you varying amounts of time. That's okay. We don't want to just cram all the bless in one setting, okay? That's overwhelming. Now, we're going to cover the letters of bless in this series, but for week one, we just want to challenge you with the B and the L, okay? So fill in your neighborhood map and begin praying individually or as a family together for your neighbors. Ask God, church, to be working in their lives and blessing and protecting them. and ask God to help you to know how you can connect with them and how you can bless them. And then L, listen. Two ears, one mouth. Listen. Start to listen to your physical neighbors. Maybe ask some safe questions. Maybe just even introduce yourself. Get their name for the first time ever. Oh my goodness. Let's decide, church, right here, right now. Let's decide to move. Let's decide to move from, hey man, hey woman, with that awkward wave. Anybody else guilty of that? I'm guilty of it. Let's move from that to, hey Dennis, or hey Denise, and let's intentionally move this thing along in the power of the Holy Spirit, along a progression from stranger to acquaintance to relationship. And let's move from just waving to hey man, to hey Dennis, to hey Dennis, how are you doing today? To hey Dennis, I could use some help with something in my garage. Would you help me for a minute? To maybe then, hey Dennis, I saw that your daughter just graduated from high school. How's that going? What's her next step? Let's move. So begin with prayer and then listen. Listen to your neighbor and listen, church. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to that wind. It's blowing. It's blowing across our community. Listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings and participate with him. And you know what? Let's be real for a second. You may have a beef with your neighbor. They may have a beef with you. Right? You holy person? You're perfect? I don't think so. They may have a beef with you. You may have a beef with them. Well, don't forget the Jewish person and the Good Samaritan from Jesus' story. There was clearly racial tension there. But the Samaritan took the high road, didn't he? And so can you. So can I. And let's do it before a tragedy strikes. Before we wish we'd have done it. Before maybe a natural disaster happens. We don't even know our neighbor's name to go help. Take the high road. Initiate reconciliation through conversation. Seek forgiveness, church. That's the foundation of the gospel message. Seek forgiveness through conversation or maybe doing a good deed. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become that neighbor. You know that neighbor. That neighbor nobody really wants to talk to or hang around. Don't be that neighbor. And together, I want us just to imagine, church. I want us to imagine the impact that we could have collectively in our neighborhoods, in our communities, all for his glory. If we all individually obeyed what Jesus said and truly loved our neighbor, the collective intentional impact of each of us in this room and in each room across our five campuses who are hearing the same message today, that would be huge. And what if, church, what if we inspired other churches in Western New York to do the same? That could have an exponential kingdom impact as thousands upon thousands of people could be impacted if we collectively loved our neighbors well together. One more scripture today to encourage us in this. It's Acts 17, verse 26 to 27. From one man, God made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out, listen to this, he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. What this word from God is conveying is the idea that you, and I have been placed in this area of Springville or its surrounding areas in our neighborhood at this specific time, at your specific address, for the specific purpose of doing what? Of doing God's work, of doing what he, God, has commanded us to do, love, and love our neighbors so they can get a taste, church, of experiencing God's love for them through you Church, God put us here where we live with a purpose and for said purpose. Think about that for a minute. Think about that this week, because I'll tell you what, it will change how you and I view our neighborhoods, and it will change how we view our neighbors. So grab a magnet map. Grab that on your way out. Grab a wet or dry erase marker or a Sharpie at home and fill it in. Fill it in with the names of neighbors around you and start to live. Start to love your neighborhood and start with prayer for them and start with listening and start this week, okay? Now, with all that said, I just wonder, okay, and I think that there are likely some of us in this room who are thinking of a neighbor right now. Maybe it's a neighbor on your street. Maybe it's someone in your office. Maybe it's a coworker in your workstation. But I bet you're thinking of someone that you need to be praying for or that you need to be listening to more. And if you are, what I want to do right now is I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to stand up. You're not going to have to say anything if you don't want to. I want you to be bold enough. Would you be bold enough to stand right now and we will lift them all up in prayer together? So if you're thinking of a neighbor that you just need to be praying for, you might not even know what's going on in their life, but their name came to you through the Holy Spirit today, would you stand and let's pray? And I'm going to tell you right now, I heard some news about my neighbor this morning. I don't know what it's all about, but they need our prayer. So I am standing for him and his wife and his kids. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have not made things very complicated. We often do. And Lord, life can be messy. There's no doubt about it. But you are the God of the universe. You are a mighty God, as we sang about. And Lord, as we go forward and as we embrace this challenge, this command to love our neighbors well, would you fill us right now with the Holy Spirit's power to do that? And to do it in a way that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, right now, as there are many people standing in this room, you know the name that's on their heart, that's in their mind. Lord, we lift those individuals to you right now. And we ask, Lord, that you would just allow them to sense your desire to be in their life and to be an active part of their life. And Lord, would you help them? Would you help our neighbors? Those names we're thinking of right now, would you protect them? Would you keep them at peace? Would you allow their home to be a place of peace, a sanctuary of hope? Lord, we pray for those names right now. If anybody wants to shout out first name, just go ahead right now.
Maria.
Adam. Amen. 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 Lord, we lift all those names up to you and the many more that were not spoken. We know that you love them. We know that. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just be working in their lives, whatever may be going on with them, that you would just guide, direct them, give them a peace and a comfort. Let them know your love for them. And Lord, help us. We need so much help to be better neighbors, to be more loving, to build relationship. Would you help us in that? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.